Welcome to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal. We examine things like habits of entrepreneurs, emerging trends, financing, marketing, unique ideas, where to get help, even how to get started on your own. Want to tell the story of your small business? Send me an email at gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. Today's story is why Uber denies that it has drivers and small business hiring people with sizable resume gaps. Those stories after this. Hey, for just a moment, lend me your ear on behalf of your feet, and let me tell you why I love my Bombas socks. They're called the most comfortable socks in the history of feet, and here's why. Made from super soft Pima cotton, Bombas socks give great temperature control and moisture wicking for a cozy comfort that never gets too much. And Bombas socks are designed especially to stay in place, cupping my heels and distributing pressure more evenly throughout my arches. The seamless toe, the perfectly sized cushioned footbed, all great news for my feet. But Bombas socks are also good for the heart of giving, that is. For every pair of socks purchased, Bombas donates a pair to someone in need. So I know the comfort I enjoy brings comfort to someone else, too. Right now, save 20% on your first pair of Bombas socks when you shop bombas.com/Gordon. That's bombas.com/Gordon to save 20% on your first pair of your new favorite Bombas socks. bombas.com/Gordon. Uber contract drivers helped bring in more than three-quarters of the company's revenue in this year's first 6 months. But as Uber would have it, it does not have any drivers. Uber raised eyebrows last month when its chief lawyer asserted that drivers' work is outside the usual course of Uber's business. Greg Bensinger, technology reporter at The Washington Post, says it's a legal strategy the Silicon Valley company has been honing for years that helps it avoid responsibility for the actions of its drivers. Greg set this up.
Yeah, well, so this is these are the arguments that Uber makes, particularly in court, about its business. And what's interesting about it is we all think of Uber as a ride-hailing company that kind of has replaced taxis, the traditional yellow cab taxis. And what Uber asserts in court and elsewhere over and over again is they don't have drivers and they're not a transportation company. And this is an important distinction for them because it gives them some legal wiggle room to separate themselves from bad stuff that happens in rides and kind of the bad behavior of some of their drivers.
Wow. So I guess maybe I'm summarizing their argument, but would they say we collect data and we are an app and we connect business partners? I mean, is that basically what they say?
Well, it's even more specific than that. They say we're a marketplace, and it happens to be used for the purpose of transportation or food delivery, but we're really just a marketplace. It's almost like we open up a parking lot, and you can have, you know, you can sell your goods here, but we have nothing to do with those goods. Of course, Uber is a little different from a bazaar because they tell their drivers where to go, what routes to take. They collect money directly from the transaction. So it's a little different. But yeah, this is a legal argument that's really important to them and has so far been a successful strategy.
Wow. Why has that been so important to them?
Well, the nature of the world is bad things can happen, and so Uber gets sued a lot, just like any major corporation. And what tends to happen is people sue Uber and they sue the driver, or in some cases the driver sues the passenger. But when that happens, Uber wants to be able to say, look, the driver was a bad actor, and we have nothing to do with him. He just happened to use our marketplace for his business of being a transportation provider. And so if something bad happened, we're sorry to hear that, but I'm sure you'll understand that this is just a person using our app.
Wow. And what would change that, I guess, is if Uber were to pay folks directly, right? I guess then they'd be considered drivers or employees.
If they had to change the status of them, they're contract workers today, and if they had to either by law or a court ruling or something, have to change the status of their drivers to employees, that relationship would change. Yeah. And you can sort of imagine that in the course of business, if a worker at Walmart, who's definitely an employee, did something regrettable, you would know that that was an employee that of Walmart, and you could go after Walmart, and you can go after the employee, and so that's going to change how Uber views this when the chips are down and they have to go to court or pay damages.
Yeah. We're speaking with Greg Bensinger, tech reporter at The Washington Post. He's got an interesting piece entitled Uber, the ride-hailing app that says it has zero drivers. All right, so this is important, too, because there's this legislation, right, floating around California about pushing contract drivers to be reclassified as employees. So Uber's watching this very closely.
Yeah, it appears to be targeted towards them and Lyft and a lot of other these sort of new gig work companies like DoorDash, the food delivery company, and Uber has taken a stand against the broad scope of this legislation. It is likely to take effect in January. The governor signed it, and we're going to have to see what the fallout is. There's a good chance that they may have to start recognizing their drivers as employees, and that'll change the business. It'll change the economics of it, and it'll change as well this arm's length relationship they've had with their drivers to date.
Yeah. Is maybe slightly off subject. Do the drivers feel strongly one way or another about this?
Well, they do. And it's complicated because drivers do tend to like the flexibility that they get from this kind of work.
Sure.
I can log on the app for just a couple hours whenever I feel like it. If they're employees, Uber is going to be in a position to tell them when they have to log on and where they have to be and how many hours they have to put in a week. And, if they don't comply with that, Uber might say, well, you're not a driver for us anymore. But a lot of drivers, on the other hand, like the idea of getting things paid for, like fuel and health insurance that they don't get from Uber today.
That is Greg Bensinger, technology reporter at The Washington Post. More after this. The Small Business Report, Your Money podcast, is brought to you by Privacy.com. If you're like me, you worry about using your credit card to shop online and then having to cancel it because some cyber crook steals your data to make other purchases. Here's a way to reduce those worries. Try the virtual credit or debit cards from Privacy.com. They work to protect my identity and bank info every time I shop online. In the last year, there have been millions of security breaches when it comes to online shopping. Privacy.com shields you by using their virtual network, which is held to the same security standards as your bank and is PCI DSS compliant, meaning your info is secured with military-grade encryption. Set spending limits, monitor recurring payments or subscriptions, and better manage your accounts. Head to privacy.com/yourmoney to sign up and start shopping. As a special treat for our listeners, new customers will automatically get $5 to spend on your first purchase. Yep, that's free money to use on any online purchase. Go to privacy.com/YOURMONEY and sign up now. Running a business is hard work, but getting the right insurance coverage for it doesn't have to be. Geico Commercial Insurance makes it easy to get excellent coverage so you spend less time worrying and more time growing your business. Geico Commercial Insurance offers great coverage like general and professional liability, business owner's policy, workers' comp, and so much more. Go to geicocommercial.com for more information and to start your coverage today. That's geicocommercial.com. The tight labor market is leading companies to consider resumes with gaps, often as much as 2 years' worth. But Wall Street Journal columnist Sue Schellenberger says a cultural shift also is underway toward greater acceptance of non-traditional career paths. Sue, take us through this.
In the past, the average worker would get very nervous if they were out of work for more than a month. The notion was that if you're really serious about your career, you're going to be working nonstop from when you get out of school until you retire. This is no longer the case, and I was very surprised to surface a couple of signs in research that employers are almost as eager to hire someone after a two-year break, assuming they were doing something legit and not spending time in the state pen, as they are to hire someone who has a steady career. It's really a cultural shift.
Really, and I guess it depends on what filled the gap, right? Were you doing something productive, passionate, that you can sort of explain on the resume rather than playing Xbox for 18 months or whatever?
That's exactly right. Ideally, according to the study by Resume Go, a firm that sent out tens of thousands of resumes to see what kinds were responded to, they found that people who could account for that break in some constructive way, ideally taking career training or education, was the top most preferred reason. But other reasons were accepted too. Family care, some career breakers I talked to went and took skiing instruction so that they could become instructors or go helicopter skiing, some kind of achievement they could report. Mm. Others, had illness, health issues, and I found that employers were jumping to get people, even who had been ill for as long as a year with a serious problem. So you need to be able to account for it with some, responsible way, but beyond that, employers will bend.
Wow. We're speaking with Sue Schellenbarger, columnist at the Wall Street Journal. Her piece is called "You Can Overcome Long Gaps in Your Resume." All right, so assuming that this is the nature of the economy today, and perhaps what this new wave, new generation of workers entering the workforce, what happens if and when the economy turns south and unemployment spikes again? Are you gonna have to go back to when you were not allowed to have a gap on your resume?
There certainly will be some softening of this trend, I think, but I don't see it changing in any major way anytime soon. With the kind of recession that we probably will have, there may be a little dent in this, but we are so far from filling all of the positions for skilled workers these days that it's going to take more than a little downturn in the economy to ease that shortage. Also, the workers coming up today simply do not accept the idea that they have to work nonstop. Many of the people in their 20s and 30s I interviewed for this story say, we expect to work until we drop. We don't expect Social Security to take care of us. We're not going to work 65 years in a row. We're going to take time out. And employers are seeing that given this new generation's preferences, they may just have to accept that.
Thanks, Sue. Sue Schellenbarger, columnist at The Wall Street Journal.
This human resources professional is crushing it, thanks to Kronos. And this is his hype song.
You can fall back with the pack. I'm a leader pack.
I've got HR, payroll, talent, and time.
I'm on the top, I'm gonna rise up. Now we are
engaging all the best people.
Blast off to the front of the field. This is
Kronos, HR solutions for the modern workforce. Learn more at kronos.com/HR swagger.
Reminder, by the way, the Small Business Report is found on our website, thismorningwithgordondeal.com. That's also where you can hear our daily news program called This Morning, America's First News. Again, if you'd like to share your small business story, send me an email at gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. Thanks for listening to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal.